Welcome to Rare Mind Talks. Today's episode is one of courage, love, and bold action. We're joined by a remarkable guest, a mother, entrepreneur, and patient advocate, who, after her child was diagnosed with an ultra-rare condition called VAT PACE, didn't wait for the world to catch up. She built a global community and started driving global research. Hello, Ana Rita.
Hello.
Thank you very much for accepting this challenge and come to the show.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me.
Let's begin with your story. You are a patient advocate, and as I've mentioned, you didn't wait for the world to catch up. As a mother, as a patient advocate, what was it like when you first realized you were a rare mom? And our listeners are not watching at this moment, but you actually have a t-shirt called Rare Mom. How was it when you first realized you were a rare mom? And how did that moment shape everything that followed?
Yes, it's true. When most of the people have their firstborn, they become moms. And my firstborn was actually the one that gave me the title of Rare Mom. He was born with an ultra-rare genetic mutation in the gene ATP6V0C, as it's you know, it's a disease with no name and with a count of 27 affected patients worldwide. And from those 27, only 3 have the exact mutation of my almost 4-year-old. So this was a pretty... life-changing. And the idea of having a diagnosis of an ultra-rare genetic disease was overwhelming, because the first initial shock was that we got the diagnosis and I Google it, because Dr. Google, you know, everybody is their first medical advisor, which shouldn't, but it is what we do. It is what it is, or ChatGPT. But back then, it was Google, and he had 3 pages about Danny's condition. And so 3 pages showed that there was no guidance, there was no support group, and that brought a lot of fear, a lot of isolation, lack of support, because the diagnosis did not give us any answer. It basically did the opposite. It emphasized the lack of information, the lack of treatments, and the lack of a clear path forward and what to expect about the future.
And that is a situation that parents like us go through when we get a diagnosis that we are not prepared for, and some choose to live with that feeling internally. Some choose to create a support group or blog post. But you actually decided to go global, and you built this alliance, VAT PACE Alliance, and from scratch, right? Where did that entrepreneurial drive came from? And I'm imagining that being a parent really influenced that decision.
Was it 100%. So just to give you a timeline, we got Danny's diagnosed in December 2022. And back then, there was only 1 research paper about the disease that came out in September 2022, so a few months before. And Danny's daddy is a neuroscientist. So thanks to him, I was able to understand the little information that there was available and what it meant about describing the condition, the symptoms, the clinical phenotypes that were talked about in the research paper, the doctors that other families were seeing, the kind of doctors, the medical teams, and the therapies. And it also came with another information that almost kids, all of them, develop epilepsy at some point. We did not see any seizures on Danny until then, but we did notice that he had some absences and he lacked a lot of muscle tone. And sometimes it seems that he was losing that muscle tone. And that worried us that it might be some kind of seizures that were very mild. So this also made us increase the amount of doctors we were seeing. And sorry, I'm detouring from the question, but it is important to understand that It was just like we had no idea what to do. And because I was leaning so much on Louise information, I also realized that not everybody has a partner that is a scientist. And so in May 1st, 2023, I started a social media project to put information out there. And I created a website, I post on all social media, and this was supposed to be 9 posts so that when other families got a diagnosis or they were Googling about their son's or daughter's condition, they would have information about it. And they have more than 3 pages of on Google. And then this just grew because this changed about being a personal struggle to being a call to action. This wasn't about Danny and it wasn't about my child, but all the children that were with this ultra rare condition because there was nothing being created. And this was the moment that we decided that we needed to take action and redirect all our energy towards building a solution for this problem. Because if we stop, if we didn't start, nobody was doing anything. And right now, what keeps us going is if we stop right now, nobody's looking into it. So there's
And sorry to interrupt, but I think that's a very powerful message in there, Anahita, is that if you actually are loud about it, if you are not shy of talking about it, not only you receive further information from others that are willing to discuss as well, but you also inspire others to come out and actually talk about the topics, right? So I always find that one of the biggest gaps is that we parents, carers, people with rare diseases don't speak much about the topic, and the others are maybe sometimes afraid of asking questions, not to be inconvenient. And then there is this gap in communication. Whereas if we actually talk about the topic, the bridges are created, and more people, more awareness is created as a result as well.
Yes. So as a parent, the urgency is immediate and it's profound, right? Every parent wants to help their children. And Danny ended up being my daily reminder, right? Every day I see him, every day I see the struggles he has, and every day that inspires me to do something. And this is something that a simple support group won't help. It's great to have the support group, but this won't take it to the next step. So that's why the foundation or the VTPA's Alliance, we focus on research and we direct all the funds to drive research. And this is the why we created it, because we, above all, we are a research foundation. So we aim to accelerate research and we never forget caring for the individuals and families affected because they are the core. And we do believe about patient-centric approaches because this is ultra rare and it's genetic, so it is very personalized. But at the same time, this is such an unknown condition that we need to understand the specific mechanisms of VTPA's dysfunction. We need to identify therapeutics and we need to identify, treatments. It might be gene therapies, which usually it's, very expensive, very big. It takes a long time, but it also might be just doing some kind of drug repurposing of something that's already in the shelf and that can help our kids. These are things that can be done, that science is there and we can do it. And with the Alliance, we are starting to have the foundation to build the structure that is needed to take this everything forward.
And you've mentioned there, this is something that can be done. Let me pick up on that because you actually launch your very first investigation program or triggers at early stage at the Alliance. It was around about when the Alliance was 3 months old. You had 30 patients in your community. What was that time like for you emotionally, logistically, and as a parent, really trying to, juggle it all together?
It's constant balance between advocacy and working with the daily demands of caring a child with complex medical needs. And back then, Danny was having 25 hours of therapy a week. So it was a very big overload. And At the same time, we are, we're still a family, right? So we need to make sacrifice in terms of personal time, in terms of sleeping, and and just self-care and family balance. Because right now, and since the foundation started, the foundation is my work, and I do it as a volunteer, which also means that we have a household that just has one salary. All of these are things that are taken into consideration, and that take a toll on our daily, life. And then, of course, I didn't talk about my background, but my background is in economics. And then I had over 10 years of branding, communication, and advertising. And just before the pandemic hit, I worked for almost 5 years as an actress in Hollywood. And it's, you don't see any science in it. So there's a lot of constant learning and understanding. And right now we're kind of a biotech building, trying to bring drugs to market. We don't have a fancy budget. We don't have departments. We don't have all of the things that farmers have to do what we are doing. And stealing it from Louise, Louise always says, like, we just keep on building the plane while we're flying it. And to that matter, and to that phase, this is not unique. This is what other rare parents are also doing this. We're not the only ones. And so the fact that we as parents need to advance where industry is not willing to put the money until they see any profits, it's kind of a dream that I want to fight for, which is a future where not the parents, the parents are not the leads, and they do not have to give up their own lives to find a cure. So the work on this foundation is every day. I work in this foundation every single day since it started. I have a lot of days are 16-hour days because we are global. We see families everywhere. We work with researchers everywhere. Last week, I had a day that I had, meetings with South Korea, Australia, North America, Europe, and it's, all these time zones and all of that. And attending all the conference and learning as much as we can. And it always goes back to we know we have started the structure and we plan what we are doing, but we still have some constraints in terms of resources. And yeah, and if we don't do anything, it just stops. So we need to keep going.
And that is really inspiring, Anahita. And you've mentioned all these different time zones. So VAT Pays is based off the US, but actually covering the entire world. And as we are talking, and again, I'll put the link in the show notes to your website. But it's just absolutely brilliant to look at your background, see that world map there with pinpoints of all the cases
Yes,
of
correct.
the where VAT Pays is founded, and this is really just possible because of this global overlook rather than a local focus, right? I mean, and this is the where the rare disease community, the numbers are so low that we really must look globally and collaborate and cooperate with one another. And taking maybe this point, let me ask you about the patient registry. I'm a very strong believer that data really matters in the rare disease community. What motivates you to prioritize data, do that collection that you were discussing, and how did you begin reaching out for families and get their feedback around the world on a global scale?
Yeah, so put it very simple. Without data, you don't have any research. And without research, you can get the cure. If you can't get a cure, you can't help the kids. If you don't, if you and the kids are the ones that generate the data. So you see, if the data research, it's just a loop. So this is something that we need to do on a daily basis, which is educate, because we didn't know about this. Well, Louis might, because he's a scientist and he works with research since almost he was born, but not, not my case. So there was a lot of learning, and to understand the power of data, it's understanding the future without us collecting systematic patient data. The researchers lack any foundation to understand the natural history of the disease. This means that they can't identify the common symptoms. They can't understand the genotype, phenotype correlations because we do not cater. So VPPAs, it's a proton pump and it has 23 genes. From those 23 genes, 13 are related with human diseases. And my son has a mutation on one of the genes, which is ATP6V0C, but there's 12 more. But within the ATP6V0C, there's still mutations of that gene. So, and each one of them, depending on what it is, which kind of mutation it is, everything can present with a different phenotype. However, and the reason why we are an alliance for VTPAs and we are not just looking into ATP6V0C, it's because when we start looking into the data and we start looking into what other families are describing about their kids, the power of data, we understand that we have three genes that have almost the same phenotypes, which are my son's gene, V0. I'm just going to finish the gene, but it's V0C, V0A1, and V1A. So these three genes are very similar. And then we start looking to other ones, and we see that the ones that are related with kidney disorders also have three genes that are related with that. So we can group them. And if you look at the biology of VTPAs, we have a strong belief that if we fix the biology of this proton pump, we might be able to help everybody and not just look into one specific gene. All of this is possible. And we got this far because of the data that is available. And then they goes back to the circle, right? Then we need to attract researchers to understand the disease. And even later on to recruit for trials, we need to have a way that we can, give some kind of medication or treatment. And then we need to look to, some kind of biomarker or something like that that will show us if that trial, if that treatment is working or not. So all of this only is possible if we have high quality organized data that can be used.
And maybe picking up on that point, Anarita, because you mentioned data needs to feed that loop. It is very important, very critical. It also means that to collect these, you need to ask families about that data. You've mentioned phenotypes, you've mentioned genes. For most or a lot of these families, these are not their day-to-day type of conversation. So these are very complex topics. My question is, when you talk to these families and you ask them to share these personal experience and personal details, is this an easy task? Because I'm
No,
assuming it's not.
it's not. But I always see, like, a year and a half ago when the alliance started, I also didn't use this. So I always look back to where I was a year and a half ago. And when I put the information out for families, I always think, would I understand this? Right? And that I think that's one of the things that we really try to always be very mindful is to have a very lay and informative message that is very educational. Because basically, instead of phenotypes, I probably will talk about symptoms, and which are a word that people can understand a little bit better. Of course, there's difference, but it kind of helps passing the image. And the idea that we can always keep telling patients that we are empowering you because we're turning your experiences and what you are watching your child do every day, because each parent is the expert of their own kids. So if we can take that data and translated it into a language that science can use, that's the crucial asset for any rare disease, because each individual is a very small number in ultra rare diseases. But we do have links with a wider range of population. So that's very important to understand that we only get to these correlations with more common or other rare diseases that are further in research if we collect the data and if we have that data to use.
And I think it's also important for this for us to demystify this concept that the data is going to be just available to everyone. Today, in again, due to technology, we actually have platforms, we have places where the data can actually be securely stored and shared only with those that are meant with good use of that data. Offline, we spoke about, for example, Citizen Health, which is this platform where patients and families can share data for research purposes only. How do you see this idea of sharing data into a platform, and what is the feedback that you get from the families you talk with?
So this citizen app, it's actually a very great partnership that we started earlier this year, and it is a platform that is evolving to something that is going to be bigger than research, because it will literally empower every family to go from being passive recipients of care into active recipients and leaders in their daily fight. I like to put it that we are, with this partnership, we are beginning to shift from kind of a paternalistic model where doctors and researchers are doing everything for the patients, to a true partnership where everybody's working with the patients, because this is where the future is leading. So this is just giving us a tool to use the power of AI to get to that goal. And let me be a little bit more specific. Basically, Citizen, if you sign up with Citizen and you do all the consents and everything, Citizen will collect all medical records since your child was born until today, and it will keep collecting those medical records from that point forward. So it gives you historical data about that patient, which it is what researchers are also looking for. But more important, if you happen to go to a doctor appointment, or if you have to go to the ER and you don't have an answer on the top of your tongue about medication the last time he saw a certain kind of specialist, or who is the name of the doctor, you can simply go to Citizen Health and ask AI to pull that information from your child's own medical records. So it is not making up information, right? It's literally, so the more information you give to Citizen, the more information he will be able to give it back to you. And at the same time, as you were saying, this data is de-identified and is made available for researchers to collect it in a wider and more spread way. And so this allow us to create a database that, instead of being just VTPA's related disorders, and that has like a population of a few hundreds maybe in the world, we have a chance to be included in a bigger and larger studies, because we can be included in studies of epilepsy, or we can be included in studies like neurodevelopment delays, or even in something very niche. For instance, most of our kids lack enamel in their teeth. And so it happens with other rare diseases and not so rare diseases. So if somebody is studying the lack of enamel, we might be able to be on board of that study, and that might help us in parallel. So this is why it is so important.
And you've mentioned, so it can give individual data, but it for researching purposes, it's not individual data. So there are ways to get the best of both worlds from these platforms that are currently available to us. We've been talking about advocacy, and let me circle now back to where we start our conversation. And advocacy can sometimes be lonely, can sometimes be exhausting, and it's definitely very personal. What keeps you going on the hardest days, Anahita? What moments have reminded you that all these efforts that we've been talking about is actually worth of it?
Well, I think, well, Danny, right? It's just, I see his struggles. So the love that I have for Danny and this desperate hope that I've seen that it is possible to give him a brighter future. I think it's my personal fuel. The community that I built, we have right now about 75 families and they're all fighters. And to know that we might have some of the kids in the hospital in a very severe condition, but right now we can send resources to that medical team that is dealing with a patient that never saw a VTPA patient in their lives and have no idea what to do. So to know that we are helping the next one, it's super important. And the connections to get in contact with the people that I am in contact, I don't think we wouldn't. We probably wouldn't be meeting, right?
Very true.
If it wasn't for this. So all of this keeps me going and it keeps, and then, you know, and then there's the fear that if we don't do anything, it stops. And from everything I learned from this year and a half, the answer is out there. The science is ready and we just need the resources and we just need to keep focused. And it's, we will find the answer. You know, we just see this beautiful breakthrough with KJ and gene editing a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, of course, it's very different from VTPAs, but still, it does fuel the hope to keep going.
That's awesome. And keep going, future. Let's talk about hope. And this is the last question. Looking ahead, what's your hope? Not just for the science, and you've made a mention about it, but for the community you are building. And also, very importantly, what would be one message that you would leave to all the families out there?
One, I think the main message is you're not alone, regardless which kind of diagnosis you have, which kind of, if you have, you don't have to be part of the rare disease community to be part of the rare disease community.
Very true.
And you, it's such an empowering and it's such a rich community that everybody can learn so much about inclusion, about just struggle. I think if more people were in contact with rare diseases that are very severe, I think they would take their lives less serious and be more happy with what they have, because it is another reality. And I do believe you need, unfortunately, you need to live it to fully understand it, but you might be able to do it even if you're not affected directly by a rare condition.
Absolutely agree, Anahita. Thank you very much for your time and availability to be here today. And above all, thank you for reminding us that advocacy isn't just about raising your voice, it's actually creating systems, collecting stories, and actually changing futures. I also would like to give a shout. You've mentioned Danny, your son, lovely little one. And
yes,
also a big shout to someone else that you've been mentioning alongside this conversation, Luis Oliveira, who is not only a fantastic scientist, but a great person and a great communicator, mm-hmm. which is something that we need more mm-hmm. of, is these people with this scientific background to be able to communicate back to us, again, people with rare diseases, families, carers, that who don't have a scientific background, and we need these communicators to translate these complex messages into simple ones that we can actually understand. And Luis definitely does that role very
yeah,
well.
True. I wouldn't be able to take the organization as further if it wasn't for him and my other co-founder, Kristen, because we did start the foundation. We are three co-founders. Luis, of course, is in charge of all the science. And me and Kristen would do all the logistics, and she's more focused on community engagement and all of that. And I'm a little bit more on the leadership and research part. But I do believe that we were able to create something that everyone else, if somebody wants to help, please come and help us. We need help to take this further faster. So please do so.
So to all our listeners, please reach out to Anahita.
Yes.
They'll need some support to make this movement and this foundation move forward. Anahita, thank you very much. And we come to the end of our conversation today. Anahita's journey is a powerful reminder that behind every data point is a story, behind every registry is a family, and behind every scientific breakthrough, a parent who refused to give up. As we wrap up this conversation, I'm left with one clear thought. This is what leadership looks like in the rare disease space. It's not just about science or data, it's all about people. So it's very important to show up for your child, for our children, and in doing that, creating hope for others. For every parent out there who are listening, you are not alone. You have foundations and alliances like VAT Pays Alliance that you can reach out for to get information, but also to share more information. So with that, thank you very much for everyone that who listened to this episode. Follow us on social media, share this episode so the message can be spread across and further. And once again, Anahita, thank you very much for being here with us. Until next time, stay curious and keep connecting the dots.